This RFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Hello and welcome to your help on RFM 92.7. I'm Abby.
And I'm Michael.
And here we are about to talk about things that we wish we knew before being parents.
Yes, it's a very large topic and we're going to keep doing this.
We're going to keep doing it.
So the moral of the story is don't become a parent until about 50 years old and know all this stuff, okay?
Okay then. All right then. Okay, so last week we had Mike on the show by himself. What did you talk about, Mike?
I talked about how great it was to hear my own voice.
Sing to yourself?
No, I didn't actually sing. I talked about, it's from a father's perspective. And, I'm forgetting the name of it. Being emotionally available for your children, kind of breaking that stigma of, being, you know, what a masculine man is, and kind of just going through, some of the stuff that, some of the stuff about the negative side of not being emotionally available for your kids and the positive sides of being emotionally available for your kids because what kind of aspects are there and the health, not just for yourself, but also for the kids in terms of their mental health as well. So that is what we discussed by myself.
Well done. Sounds like a great topic.
Yeah, I was correct the whole time.
You were correct the whole time. Yep. And yep. You probably weren't interrupted either.
No, I interrupted myself a few times. Yep, as I do.
Okay, so in today's episode, I thought that we could dive into the concept of having it all. So the idea that parents can balance an ambitious career, raise children, maintain a fulfilling personal life, and keep everything in perfect harmony. We're going to discuss why this idea is not only misleading, but possibly harmful, and offer some ways to redefine success and balance for the modern parent.
Okay. Sounds like you have it all covered today.
I have it all. Okay. So first off, what is the myth of having it all? I love this part because, like, I've got my thing here that I can read from, and then I'm like, what do you think?
Well, I think you actually covered it pretty well in what you said is the myth of having it all is that you can perfectly balance your career and your advancement in the career, whatever you're passionate about, like whatever you wanted to get to, if it is getting to, you know, those manager's positions, leadership positions, advancing your paycheck, you can have that. As well as have your family, and you know everything is operating well there. It's all happy family, and then you've also got your own personal loves and desires and things like that. If it's sport, if it's activities, that sort of stuff. So you can have kind of those three main areas I see: your work, your family, your personal. You can achieve whatever it is you want to achieve with them, and there's perfect balance and harmony in all three is what I believe we're getting at.
Okay, so having it all suggests that parents, especially mothers, see if I agree with this one, can simultaneously succeed in their careers, be fully present with their children, maintain a perfect home, and still have time for personal fulfillment. You're only one father. You don't represent all of fathers in this whole entire world.
Theoretically, I'm three fathers.
But do you think that this is a myth that maybe fathers don't struggle with as much as mothers, or it really depends on the person?
The thing I find hard with this myth is it comes down to what each person's individual ambitions are, which makes it very difficult because there's no reason you can have it all if you recognize there is limitations or if you recognize say at work and you're a builder and all you wanted to do was be a builder. You didn't want to own your own company. You want to work for someone else, and that was your ambition at work. You can have all that and then be fully present at home. And then if your only ambition outside of that is to go to the gym, like that, to me, that's very, I'm going to bottle it. It's really simple to have that, okay?
Yeah.
So that's why I find struggle with this is it does come, it does, Smith kind of leads down to people who are really career driven and really want the family, that that's where the struggle lies, and which I do agree it does.
Maybe it's not so much career driven, maybe it's just ambition.
Ambition.
You know, ambition,
yeah.
Because you can be a stay at home mum and want to have it all, you know, want to be involved in every school event, want to be able to be the best baker, want to be, you know, have the friends, have the social life, have the children's and the after school activities, and, you know, food on the table, be the best wife, you know, all of that. You can want to have it all.
Yeah.
And it not just be career. Maybe so, it's more ambition.
Yeah, I think ambition is probably the best word for it because you can have ambition in all the different areas. So this is definitely something I wouldn't just say, oh, it's only the women that suffer, that have this. Men do as well.
Yeah. Maybe it is more predominantly seen in females because of, I guess that's what we're going to talk about. Because it's the next point here is where did it come from? So what I'm reading is historically this myth grew in prominence as more women entered the workforce and were expected to excel both professionally and domestically, leading to unachievable standards.
Yep.
So I can understand that aspect.
Yep. No, no, I can see that, and I think we did that series on stereotypes as well, and I think like this leads the. Both go quite hand in hand in terms of what they're talking about here, which is quite good.
Interesting enough, like this topic, like, why did I say that? I got stumbled on there. I was like, why did I just say like in a really inappropriate time?
You know this topic, like.
Like. anyway, one of our volunteers, I was chatting to her last week, and she's in her 70s, and we were talking about the pressures sometimes that we feel as we're in this context, we were talking about as mothers because we were in a room full of mothers.
Yep.
And she said, you know, I feel like my generation has done the following generations a disservice because she felt that in her generation there was a lot of pressure to do everything. And do everything well.
Yeah.
And she said, for example, you know, the stay-at-home mum, the having the career, everything we're talking about here. She said she felt like her generation ushered in that mentality of being able to do it all.
Yeah.
And realizing how much harm that actually brings to us because you can't do it all. Something has to give. So that is what that's what she said. So
okay, interesting.
Okay, so the false ideal. There is an illusion that with the right strategy or schedule, anyone can master it all without compromise. But the reality is that trying to meet these standards is a recipe for burnout and frustration.
Yep. No, 100%. I like what they say there. Without compromise, I think that's the key. For me, it's a key word there, because, like, good planning, you can achieve all your goals, but often your goals you do have to compromise down because of the limitations around you.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So, yeah, I like that. It's being specified, you know, without compromise, because that is very hard to achieve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the pressure to have it all. Societal expectations. Love this.
Uh-huh.
We talk about this often.
Yep.
Society places a heavy emphasis on the idea of super parents who can manage successful careers while still being present at every family event. We see this, this is definitely through media, through movies, TV, through social media, through magazines, like, it's
I mean, there's quite a few times that you and I joke about when we watch a TV show where it's like you question how long have they been at work or how long what time do they even get to work?
Exactly.
You know, you see them in the morning, like the mother in the morning with the kids and they're like having all breakfast and stuff like that. It's like, oh, it's time to go to school now, and then drops them off and then goes to work. So it's like crazy long day, but then it's like, I'll pick up the kids, I'm making dinner. It's like, what time scale are you guys working towards?
It's like really dark at, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
As you feel like they've got extra hours in their days than the average person.
Especially when they just go like, you're going to go to this place and like go there for like a long lunch. But anyway.
The other thing about movies like that too is that money is just no object.
Yeah, that too.
It's like they're just doing all this stuff. It's been, you know, and I sit there thinking, oh my gosh, that would cost this much money.
Yeah.
If you went and ate that meal, that's how much that would cost. And you went to that and like, I'm just thinking,
yeah.
Oh, they must have a really good paying job.
But then they're never at their job.
The
Problem is like, they must, I don't know what to do.
I know.
90% of the time, the dad is with the kid. So what is he doing all day? Yeah. I work this powerful job.
Yeah, so we know that society definitely has expectations, especially when there's movements coming through. Each generation has different focal points of what we're trying to achieve and undo and challenge. And those, every time we as a society are challenging aspects or challenging things, it has ripple effects. On the other generations. And I think sometimes it can swing too far the wrong way and then we're out of balance again. And it is just trying to find that healthy balance in society.
Yeah.
So media influence,
yep.
Social media, on platforms like Instagram, parents often only share the best moments, creating an unrealistic standard for others. The highlight reel effect can lead to unhealthy comparisons. We've talked about this a lot.
Yeah.
TV and movies, many shows and films depict characters who seamlessly juggling career, family and personal growth without much struggle, reinforcing the myth.
Yeah. The montage sequences.
The montage. Oh, yeah. And see, we might watch these out of entertainment, but what are we allowing to subconsciously sit in there without realizing that it's having an impact?
Yep.
Cultural expectations. So some cultures may put pressure on parents, especially mothers, to prioritize family first, while others emphasize professional achievement, creating conflicting expectations.
Yeah.
Even
just marrying up to two different cultures.
Yes.
If you and your partner are from different cultures, like trying to marry those up.
Yeah.
You've got your own expectations from each side, but then somehow you've got to figure out how to make it all work together as well.
Yeah. Okay, the emotional and mental impact. Stress and anxiety. So constantly trying to meet all expectations leads to stress, anxiety, and emotional exhaustion, especially for parents who feel they're falling short in multiple areas.
Yeah.
Guilt. Working parents. We've done an episode on working parent guilt. Many working parents, particularly mothers, experiencing guilt for not being fully present at home while simultaneously feeling guilty for not dedicating more time to their careers.
Yeah.
Self-doubt and perfectionism. When parents can't meet the perfect balance, it leads to feelings of inadequacy and self-doubt, and in some cases, a toxic form of perfectionism that exacerbates mental health struggles.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find interesting is that we're talking about the myth of having it all, however, is being stressed and anxious and full of guilt and self-doubt and perfectionism, is that having it all? So you have it all.
Yeah.
For me, means that you are also an emotionally and mentally healthy state.
Yes, and I agree with that. But then, like you point out, that's not necessarily what society or media has presented as having it all.
Mm.
I think that's the trouble we get into, especially if we take, like, we've been joking around with movies and TV shows. Like, often, I mean, the premise of most movies is, you know, the hero, main focus, has something they're trying to achieve at the end of it. And that's their goal of having it all. And there's always trials and tribulations that go along the way that stresses them and puts pressure on them and they fail bits and pieces. So we see that and we're like, we joke about it. But then we also, like, we just live with the expectation of, oh, to be able to achieve this, this means I'm going to be stressed.
Yeah.
And just allow it to be lumped on ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So redefining what success and balance is.
Yep.
The first thing here is letting go of perfectionism.
Yeah. Yep.
tip. Except that you can't give 100% in every area all the time. Some days your family may need more from you. On other days, career might require more focus. Balance doesn't have to be static. I really love that point because that's probably something I personally need to work on, is that each day is different. Some days the focus needs to be more on the family. Other days it might need to be more on myself. Other days it's on my work.
Yeah.
You know, and it's finding, it's not just a straight, this is what's going to work every day. It's just being present in the day, present in the moment, letting go of agenda and perfectionism and this is what I had planned today, and more being in that space of, okay, this is what is in front of me today and this is the priority of right now.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think a good one, a good example of this is, you know, when it comes to the school events, because quite often, you know, having three kids in the same school, there's quite a lot going on all the time.
Mm.
Now, we can't, we as much as we want to be there, for as much as we can, we can't realistically be there for them all.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, having that realistic expectation of actually, you know, we've been to five of these, we're not going to go to the sixth one, sorry.
Yeah.
Kids, you know, like, we are trying to juggle it.
Yeah, that's right. It would be interesting, you know, because your work week looks significantly different to mine. So you go to work 40 hours a week.
Yep.
Obviously, you can't always just be like, oh, well, today I feel like today I should be giving more to myself and then, you know, just sit on your desk and do nothing, because you would get in trouble for not working. So how would you apply that type of concept of letting go of perfectionism and the tip of of finding that healthy balance when you obviously do spend a lot more time at your workplace compared to myself?
Yes, I do. So in terms of work, like how I structure work specifically, because although I'm at work for 40 hours a week and your hours fluctuate, but like there's also the expectation on me that, because I get paid for 40 hours a week, that I am producing results for that, for I guess a proportion of that 40 hours. So for me, there is a large emphasis on ensuring I'm covering that. But then even for me inside work, because I'm responsible for five different areas at work, I have to do the same thing where I can't be perfect at all of them, and it's implausible for me to be perfect at all of them, so I have to literally focus on one to the other. And like today, I needed to get out of my office because I'd kind of done quite a bit of, like, a few days just behind my computer trying to do all these paperwork bits and pieces for different areas. And so I kind of just, there's an R&D project I was working on. I started building some of that stuff for an hour, but because that's what I needed, I think I try to apply that same thing to the wider life as well.
Yeah.
You know, like, we made a decision where I start work early because it really helps, especially at the end of the day, because it's actually a better balance with the family.
Yeah.
So getting up, and I mean, it has dual benefits where the first couple of hours at work, I'm actually quite a lot more productive than I am at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So is that there, which is quite good. But because I'm going in early, I'm finishing early, which means it's a nicer balance for the home life, which then leads into it's a lot easier to establish time for myself as well. But I think it's with that recognizing, you know, my home life and my responsibilities is going to mostly be done in the afternoon and evening. And then equally for me, I'm just trying to think through these different aspects. You know, I have the benefit of work where I can be quite flexible with the hours too, where I can help with the school stuff or other bits and pieces going through that's happening. Like I can go to school events every now and then and whatnot. So although...
And whatnot.
Yeah, and whatnot. So I think it's...
I think you answered my question.
Yeah, I think I did.
And some more.
Yeah, I was just trying to make sure I covered your question.
You covered the question and more.
Sweet, easy, done.
Okay, so focus on priorities. Mm-hmm. So here's a practical approach. Instead of trying to excel in everything simultaneously, identify your top priorities for each day or week.
Yep.
Focus on what matters most at any given time. So that's what we were both talking about before.
Yeah.
Work-life integration over balance. So reframing balance. It's more practical to think about integrating work and family life instead of perfectly separating them.
Yeah.
Which is what you're talking about. Some days might blend work and home, and that's okay. And yeah. that's you, like, as you were pointing out, you thankfully are working for a company that can blend family life and work yeah. life together really well. And that's really helpful when you are working in an environment like that. Yeah, but it doesn't need to be separate.
No.
Life, I know some people talk about, I think it really comes down to you as a person and what helps you get through the day. Because, you know, for me, it's good to have that cutoff time, okay, work's finished now, and now it's family time.
Yeah.
Because I need that line in the sand.
Yeah.
Some people don't necessarily need that.
I think that kind of boundary is really important to have, where you do have a cutoff point or downtime where you're not thinking about work. Just for yourself, because I think a lot of people that I talk to that don't have that, you can sustain it for quite some time, but it can build into a diminishing mental health if you're constantly feeling this pressure at work because you're not switching yourself off.
Yeah.
So I think it's just being wary of that, being wary of doing that in the short term as opposed to sustaining it for the long term.
Yeah.
Throw the rest of us out. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about some practical strategies for parents. So setting boundaries. Establish clear boundaries between work and home.
Yep.
Set specific times for work and family and make sure both are respected. This helps manage the guilt of being pulled in too many directions. But I also want to add in here, setting boundaries is not just for work and home. It's for relationships and home and work and personal life and hobbies. Like, you need to have boundaries for all of those things.
Yep.
An example I was thinking of is yesterday I was taking our daughter to swimming, and then afterwards I was in the car and I was trying to organize something with another couple of girls, and it was taking my time away from Lucy, where we actually had this opportunity to have a one-on-one moment of conversation between the two of us. And she said, "Mum, am I just going to sit in the car while you're on your phone, or are we actually going to, like, talk to each other?" And I was like, she's right. Like, I actually have this opportunity to be with her. Now, sometimes it might be a situation where it's like, oh, you know what? I hear what you're saying, and I'm going to give you my attention, but I actually just need to send these messages first.
Yep.
And because it's teaching teaching our kids that sometimes we just need to prioritize this in this moment, but it doesn't mean you're any less or that we don't have time for you. So it's assessing your life in every moment. And I think that's what that being present is, okay, present right now. What do I have right now? I've got my daughter sitting in the car with me. Is this message that I'm sending urgent? Does it require me to be messaging today?
Yeah.
Or could I do it later?
Yeah.
And so I think that's where that's a personal boundary. Like, I don't need to message these other people and say, excuse me, this is my time with my daughter. You can't message me. That's not their issue.
No.
But it's my responsibility to be like, okay, what are my boundaries here? Because I can't do everything.
Mm.
And right now, the priority is being here with my daughter. So I think that's why I wanted to kind of add in, setting boundaries is not just, because we're not just talking about having it all at work and home. We're talking about the myth of having it all with everything.
Yeah. I think it's really good to communicate, like you said, point out, really good to communicate those boundaries with your spouse, with your kids as well, because normally it is with your spouse, but with your kids is really important. Like, I do this at work when the kids are in the come to the office, because, like, you do take Lucy swimming. They'll come up to me and say, Dad, can I do this? I'm like, kids, I'm actually in my workspace. I'm working now. This is my work boundary. You guys actually need to respect that too.
Yeah.
Because then when I'm finished work, I'm finished work.
Yeah.
So it's actually, like you point out, it's really good to make sure it's clearly set for yourself, but then also communicate to those that need to be.
Yeah, that's right. Delegate or outsource. So this is a tip. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Yeah. Whether it's outsourcing household tasks or asking family members for childcare assistance, delegating can relieve a lot of pressure.
Yes.
This is something that you and I have been talking about personally, because I'm at the space where I'm like, I can't do it all.
Yeah.
Like, something has to give. And what's giving for us is our housework. I just am choosing not to stay on top of it because I'm choosing to put my energy in other places. But then it's hard because we obviously want to have a clean house.
Yeah.
And this is one of those situations of, do we actually need to reassess our budget and see if we can outsource some of this?
Yeah.
Just to take the pressure off. Just to know that the bathrooms have been cleaned once a week. At least just that, you know, and I think that's what's really important, is it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to say, actually, I'm at capacity. I can't do this, or I choose not to do this because I'm at capacity. And just, you know, maybe looking at getting some cleaner or hired help in to take the pressure off, because it might only be short term.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we might only short term have someone help clean our house until... For some, I don't know why we can't do it now. I feel like our life's changed so much.
We're trying to get the balance right, because the reason we, it's one of the first things to go, is because quite often to get to a point where we're cleaning the house regularly, it was actually putting stress on us. Mm. We've gone through, and our kids are getting older. So one of the big things for me as well, anyway, right now, is I'm trying to get the kids to be doing their chores without us having to be so involved with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, to me, is teaching them how to be self-sufficient and whatnot.
That
takes time.
I love that whatnots you're saying tonight.
Whatnot. But yeah, like it takes time to make sure these kids are doing what they should be to the standard we need them to.
These kids.
Yep.
I'm just nitpicking your sayings tonight, eh? These
100%.
Kids. 100%. And whatnot.
And I think why we're kind of in this space is because, this year you and I, we're trying to make sure we are being healthy in ourselves, which does mean that you and I need to establish some time for us as a couple, but us as individuals regularly, to ensure we're in a good space.
Yeah.
Which we've done. And unfortunately, the consequence has really been as much time as we spend cleaning, because we've chosen working and family and are over, like, the consistent cleaning. I'm not saying our house is messy. Like, our house is not. But it's just a few things that need to be sorted.
Yeah. Okay, so also it's important to have self-compassion.
Yeah.
Be kind to yourself. You're not failing if you can't meet every expectation, or if you say yes to something and realize, actually, I can't do that. And you need to say no. Recognize this can alleviate a lot of the stress associated with the myth of having it all. Something that I've recognized in myself is I've recently done some sensitivity testing for my gut health. And one thing I have learned is that my stomach acid is low, which is what's giving me reflux, which is why I did this whole sensitivity thing. Now, in order to solve that problem, it's literally lifestyle changes, is eliminating stress factors and learning how to be a bit calmer. And
how are you going to eliminate me?
Well, and it did get me thinking. I was like, okay, so I need to be mindful of this and choose what I'm going to allow to stress me out or let go of, rather than just rolling with it and thinking I'll be okay later, because it's physically impacting my body.
Yeah.
Okay, so with that being said, just an abrupt end to that comment.
Yeah.
I'm done with that thought. What does having it all really look like?
Can I just say one thing?
Before
we get into what it looks like.
These children and whatnot.
Because one thing I find that's really good at setting priorities and helping with delegation is, you can look it up online. It's called, what's important and urgent table, basically. I'm trying to think through the right waiting for it.
Look, you're telling the story.
So, you have four boxes because you've got what's important at the top, what's urgent down the side, down the side. And so what is important, what is not important, not urgent, you just don't worry about. Cool?
Mm-hmm.
What is important but not urgent, you delegate.
Mm-hmm.
What is urgent but not important, again, you delegate, or you just like, so you schedule that to be done. But then what is all urgent and important is where your priority should be. And so if you kind of look it up, it's much better visual. But mm-hmm. if you can kind of like be like, okay, well, we've got this thing coming up. Where does this fit in my scale? Is it important? Is it urgent? Because then I know the correct course of action to take with it. And I think using that is something that works really well to help set those priorities and help set where you need to delegate as well.
Mm. That's cool. A good tip there.
Thank you.
Okay, so what does having it all really look like? For me, what does having it all really look like? I think for me, just not even having that as an expectation. So I don't need to have it all. This is not really creating an image for you, but it's, I think for me, what I'm trying to say is that phrase of having it all is not something I choose to live by. I feel blessed with what I have, and what I would love to do is just try my best.
Yep.
And have a successful life. And what that looks like for me is me being healthy and whole, having a healthy and whole marriage, having healthy and whole children, and doing the best that I can in the job that I have, and just being able to love life and love people. And I don't want for much. Success for me is not about things. It's not about, you know, the bank account. It's not about, you know, that's that. And being ambitious for me, that's not what drives me.
Yeah.
And the work that I do, it's caring for people. That's what drives me.
Yeah.
And wanting to see people healthy. That's what drives me. So I think I can fall into the trap of feeling like I need to do it all.
Mm.
But that's something that I've been learning, is I don't have to do it all. Yep. I don't need to prove myself to anybody.
No.
So how would you answer that? What does having it all really look like for you?
Yeah, so I was going to comment on what you said, like, because you say, you know, you don't have to have it all. But what you have done is you've gone through each area of your life, significant areas of your life, and like, okay, well, what level am I satisfied to hit, or targets to hit, and kind of establish those, and then work through, can you have this in balance, if that makes sense.
Can you just answer the question for yourself?
No, I cannot. I can
instead
never.
Instead of like, I'm just saying, analyzing me over here.
Well, because to me, that's the important part. Like, so for me, like, okay, what does having it all look like for me? For me, it's in my family space, what am I wanting to see in that, especially with the kids, you know. So specifically with the kids, we don't want to see my relationship with them at certain ages. My wife, we don't want to see my marriage, and how do I want to see that. Work, where do I want to go and work. So I kind of set levels and or have it, break it up into where I want to see life get to, or what my targets are, so to say. And then I kind of look at it as to see how attainable is that, and if not, then I have to go back and reevaluate those, and to keep a life balance. So having all for me is creating that balance in my life where I am healthy, both physically and mentally, where my family, my wife, were healthy physically and mentally, as well as my friends as well. So that's what, to me, is having it all, is actually just in that more healthy space for mentally and physically.
So being balanced.
Being balanced.
That's how I would describe it, is that I would like to have a balanced life, not a have it all. So I'm not a have it all type of person. I'm a let's be balanced in life.
Yeah.
Okay, so success isn't about doing everything perfectly all at once. It's about doing what's best for you and your family, even if that looks different from societal norms.
Yeah.
All right, so we're heading into our conclusion now. My final thought is redefine having it all, that phrase, having it all, to match your own values and circumstances.
Yeah.
Let go of external expectations and embrace what works for your family. And it's so important to talk this through with your partner.
Yeah.
Because you have your own individual take on what this looks like for you, but then there needs to be the joint vision for the family that you're working on together so that you're on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
My key takeaways are you can't do it all, and that's okay. We're not meant to do it all.
No.
We're meant to live life with other people. We're meant to be doing things together. Focus on your priorities and let the rest go. Be kind to yourself. Perfection isn't the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is talking about the myth of having it all. So hopefully this kōrero has been helpful for you listening and given you guys some food for thought about your own world. Then obviously if you want to have it all and you want to live like that, then go for gold.
Yeah.
Like that's up to you. Like there's no judgment here.
Yeah.
It's just that if you're someone who's trying to have it all and it's weighing you down and you're struggling, then maybe readjustment to that perspective on life needs to shift.
Yeah. I think a nice question to ask when you are contemplating this is ask yourself why. Like, why is your target set that? Is it because it's what you want, or is it because there's expectation on you to achieve it?
Yeah.
Just say, yeah. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
And whatnot.
No, don't say whatnot. Apparently, it's not a good book.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in once again and listening to us talk about life and parenting and the things we wish we had talked about before we had children. But you're never too late to have these discussions now. So until next week, I will see you later.
Have a good week.